This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/filmsack and enter the promo code FILMSACK.
I would have won. You had to cheat to beat me, force me off the road. That ain't racing, that's trying to murder someone.
You lost, guy, what can I say? Now take your girl and walk.
You want a race? Cause I'll show you a race. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Greetings and welcome to the episode of Film Sack that is assigned the number 337. My name is Scott Johnson and we are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 337, like I mentioned. And when joining me today, we have Brian. Let's hook up the Daytona and get the hell out of here, Dunaway.
Let's do it. Oh, hi. Listen, you lose the intro, you lose your car. What you driving these days, Randy? A 1976 Pacer? No?
Yeah, sure.
Whatever, Garth.
Some good.
All right, Scott.
Yeah.
What are you driving? A 78 Ford Pinto?
No, it's that Ford something else. It's newer.
Yeah, I don't want that. Met any overly aggressive dogs lately? No?
No.
Ibbit? Want to race that 19? Ibbit? Want to race that 1970 Gremlins from high school?
79 Gremlin, thank you very much.
Oh, you think so? I don't think so. Does it still have prick on the side of it? Or is it just in the driver's seat? Oh man, this intro turned out to be a lot like a reconstituted Charlie Sheen made out of stars.
It's
the closest I could get to actually any kind of star for my intro, kind of like this movie. By the way, this intro was assisted by imcdb.org, the Internet Car Database.
Ah, nice.
I learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that car, like the Wraith car, doesn't exist. Did you learn that? Because that doesn't exist. That's not a real car.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm driving the dude's car from Fast Times at Ridgemont High with prick on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's totally. You. And if you're listening, Twitter me at the Brian Dunaway with the answers to the other two cars mentioned in the movies.
Well done.
Therein.
You know everything
and
about
you'll
it.
You'll win no prize whatsoever.
Also with us,
none.
We have Randy. He's been huffing hydraulic fluid all day. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Randy.
I ever tell you boys about the time I was a trainer for a small town sheriff operations advisory?
No.
True story. We'd go in whenever a rural area elected a new sheriff and train him and his deputies on proper procedure. We always had three abiding rules. Number one, never show any respect to your suspects or consult with the judge or a mayor. Or any other local authority. It's just you versus the bad guys, and the Bill of Rights don't play around here, law dog. Number two, your cop cars might look like crappy old Dodge 600s, but they're made of magic. They can keep up with Corvettes and Firebirds on the open road. Mm. So drive them to the limit. They'll do 200 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
If you walk in on some folks having sex, you just go on and talk to them. maybe That's throw creepy. A piece of clothes at the lady to let her know you're not completely inhuman, but you is. You're a robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is back before Randy Quaid. Crazy Quaid?
Yeah, Crazy Quaid.
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, Crazy Quaid.
Yes, before he went, before this is before he went full Quaid.
Yeah.
Right,
CQ, we call him. CQ. Crazy Quaid. Finally with us, Brian. Just don't call him Skank Ibbit.
Hey, Billy. Yes, you figured it out. I'm your long-lost brother. Come back from the dead for revenge on the gang that killed me. The best gift I can possibly give you is the vehicle that all the cops are looking for that killed all the members of the Packard gang. Have fun driving that around in the neighborhood. Instructions are in the glove box.
That's awesome.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That thing is a total, like... It's incriminating evidence of the highest degree. It's the one car everyone sees at the scene that no one can ever figure out where it is. Take that.
And now you get to drive it to the drive thru.
Yeah, screw my little brother.
I do want a comic series as a follow up to The Wraith because I would like to see the further adventures of what happens.
Yeah, but
I
isn't,
feel like I
but
isn't, it kind of ended early.
But isn't The Wraith basically Ghost?
The Crow.
Well, yeah, it is The Crow, but what's the other one? What's the Knight Rider? No, not Knight Rider. Who's Ghost Rider is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Ghost Rider.
Yeah. It's the same idea. It's like, oh, a specter on a motorcycle getting revenge with his chains and stuff. Like, it's just kind of that.
This movie is maybe perhaps one of the most layered movies we've watched. It is just so full of popular culture from that time. Mm. It is just a big old pile of it. You ever eat the KFC bowls where they put everything in it?
You're right. Yeah.
This is like the KFC bowl of movies.
It is just every trope from that time period. The street gang made up of a bunch of different members of different types of people. We got a punker. We got we got the greaser. We got just your regular jock looking dude.
Yeah.
Gangs of one is I like to call them because each one of them represent a different kind of gang.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty great.
Right.
And they call each other guy a lot, which drives me crazy.
Everybody hangs out at the hamburger shack every night. And then they go out to the quarry to sit on the rocks on their beach towels.
Yeah. That was weird. I want to know where in Arizona that was. That looked all right. That seemed like a place outside
of Tucson. I know how cool is that little river. It's like a water park where you can just take your little rafts down this little rock lined river in the quarry.
And there's only one place that sells the floats because everybody has the same float.
Yep. There's a little stand on your way in that sells them, rents them to you.
Yep. And when you just called it a float? Is that what you called it?
Yeah, I called it a float. What do you call it?
No.
What do you do on it? You float. What do you want to call it?
I don't think it's a bad name. I'm trying to think of what I would call that because I've never heard the term float.
I think I call it an inner tube.
Yeah,
no.
I call it, because that would be
tubular. This is more of a rectangular.
This is porous.
Right.
I think we called them blow-up raft or something dumb.
I'm going to stick with float.
Mattress.
Do y'all not have anything?
Not an air mattress.
No, we have. Listen,
pool
we
mattress.
Have. We
I said pool mattress.
Yeah, a pool mattress, pool floaty or something. I'm telling you, you don't want.
We've already got a name for it, Scott. It's called float.
You don't want to call it a pool floaty, trust me. But listen, I'm telling you that I'm trying to remember what we had a name, but it wasn't float.
Inflatable lounge chair.
It's gonna drive me crazy. Now, because I don't know what we would have referred it to, but
I
like it.
I know float would be kind of a regional thing.
Controversial.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's not controversial. I think you have the better name. I'm just trying to remember what we would have said because it's not float. I know that. I just don't know what it was.
Right.
If we were at the pool or
floats here.
What, you guys call them floats too?
Yeah. Yeah. Go grab yourself float.
Because it's what you're going to do when you get on it.
But how is that? If you said to me when I was a kid, Scott, go grab yourself a float, I'd get a root beer float. That's what
Well, yeah.
I've just been shopping for this thing. Walmart calls it a floating pool mattress.
Yeah.
Sears calls it a pool air mattress.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Someone calls it a regular raft mattress
because that's all we have at my house.
All right.
Inflatable raft.
Inflatable raft is what I've always said when I was younger.
Would you go over there and get the inflatable raft? No, that would be too much.
I agree. It's too much. I totally agree. But I swear that's what we did instead of float. Float is the winner. Float wins. Well done.
And if you get one for Ricardo Montalban, it's the inflatable raft of Khan.
Yeah, it's the inflatable raft of Khan. And that was really good. And it's made of real Corinthian leather. All right, Scott Fletcher has to poke his head in here and explain what the hell the Wraith is. Two of us on this panel have not seen the film until now. That would be Randy and me.
And try to guess who.
The other two, you other two saw it, and the Brian saw it back in the dizzy, man. Like when
multiple
it was new.
Multiple times back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In theaters,
in the
right?
Year, multiple times for me.
Oh, my Lord, oh, really?
Ever wow. since it came on, as soon as it came on Netflix, I was like, hot diggity dog, it's time to watch some Wraith.
All right. So did you, so hold on though. Ibbet, you saw it multiple times in the theater. I need to understand that.
So we had dollar theaters close to us, and it was called the Arvada Square Dollar Theater. Mm-hmm. And for a while, there was just nothing else playing there. And we'd always go hang out, this group of friends, and I would always go hang out. We'd go eat fast food, and then we'd go sneak our fast food into the dollar theater. And for a while, the only thing that was playing was The Wraith, the only thing that we wanted to see that was playing. And so it was me and Jane Badin, who I was.
Jane Badeen.
Jane Badeen.
Did he slick his hair back and kind of like a knockoff of James Dean?
Why do you keep saying he? It's a she. Oh, Jane.
I'm sorry. Jane. Badeen. I thought you said James. I'm sorry. Oh, no, that was
Jane,
my bad.
Jane Badeen. And then Scott Wagner and his girlfriend and Chris Riddle and his girlfriend. And we'd go and see The Wraith. And it seemed like we did that for maybe 3 weeks until something else came out.
Wow. Theaters were a real threat, dude. We had those two and we would go. I mean, that was the point of it, is that you could always have a dollar with you. You could go for
exactly.
A dollar.
Yeah. It was a great
really
way to kill
happy
2 hours.
Right now we get to put a name to the girl who's always saying all these weird things to Brian Ibbett at the end of the prom. We got Jane.
I never took Jane Badeen to the prom. It was
you did now
for about 3 weeks that summer of 1986.
Wow,
right. It was the summer of
as long
86.
As the race tenure at the Dollar Theater.
That's amazing. All right, well, that's a good backstory. Here's Scott Fletcher explaining more about The Wraith.
The Wraith. After being murdered by a gang of drag racers, Jake returns from his grave looking for revenge in a souped-up supernatural car.
Short but sweet. And they don't really explain anything about the canon or lore behind how one would come back from the dead.
Sure. And the universe decided to give him a second chance. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, but okay. I'm fine with that broad stroke, but how did the universe do that? Like, all I saw at the beginning were some kind of weird laser balls flying through the air.
He's reconstituting himself.
Yeah.
He has made that decision just like the Sandman in Spider-Man. He decided that
he's made of
enough
two
is
and
not
a half
enough.
Stars.
But I want to stand with Scott here. Some movies, at most movies, when they do this, they would explain what the agent of all of that change is. Yeah, like,
aren't
there
you
would
glad
be,
they didn't?
I'm glad they didn't. No, yeah, I am. But there would have been like a demon or the devil or some other character that was overseeing this reconstitution.
Yeah.
And this movie is just like,
that it was
nah,
this...
you'll
yeah.
get it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm glad. I like that it wasn't just, you know, good versus evil kind of thing. It was more of a universal kind of the universe decided that it was going to send him back for a second chance. I like that.
You do? Right. But, do you
but
like?
Change him, yeah. But changes look just enough to make him be a different person.
Yeah, just
yeah,
to, I, just
I
enough.
Liked,
yeah.
I like that because that was kind of, they were doing something very similar. I'm sure it's not the first time it's been used in in stories. It's been used a million times over and over again of, you know, coming back and looking a little different. But most closely tied in would be Knight Rider, because if you ever watched the first Knight Rider, it's a different dude in the very beginning of it. And then he gets all beat up and mauled. And then he comes back as ugly old David Hasselhoff. Yeah. And same thing here. You know, he couldn't quite put himself. He came as close as he could.
And the best, like he, the best he could do is Charlie Sheen. That's
right,
the best
I could do is Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
He looked through a big book of mugshots of student photos and said, all right, I'll go with the Sheen.
So, okay, you just said student. I want to clear something up. Is everyone in high school in this story?
No,
they're all college age, but they're not going to college.
Right, they're all Tucson losers. Okay.
But in the story, a few of them are high school age, right? In the story, but the bad guy is not. Charlie Sheen is not.
Who are the high school people? Do you know?
Oh, the girl, right? She's in high school, right? Isn't that right?
I don't know. I call her Left Boob.
Isn't the first thing? Well,
it was
she's
the
Sherilyn
summer.
Fenn from Twin Peaks. Let's just get that out of the way
right
away. That's Audrey Horne.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
Carrie Johnson was the character, and she was. I thought she was supposed to be in high school, but it was summertime, right?
Yeah, well, but isn't the first interaction with her and Charlie Sheen, he's on his bike and he's asking her for directions to the high school?
The quarry.
The quarry.
Right. Well, the quarry?
The quarry, the place. Yeah, right? And that would, okay. Don't you ask?
Yeah,
I think that's right.
The river thing.
I think she's going to school because that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Brian. I had the same exact feeling, but it was the quarry because he was going to go there too. And then he ends up just laying there stalking her. Talking to her, not talking to his brother, as if he doesn't know him.
Don't you miss days
through his Steve Dallas sunglasses?
Oh my lord,
those were awesome! Don't you miss the days of you know, just being in high school age and somebody new comes into town, you just strike up a conversation with them in the middle of the street and just jump in the back of their motorcycle, let's go.
Yeah, oh yeah, every time.
See you again.
I totally missed that. Wow, yeah. Those were the days.
Those were the days. Those were the days that never existed for me, not even once. I mean, when a new kid would come, there was always that awkward, like, ooh, new kid thing. But it was never, like, it was never a cool kid on a motorcycle that was broody and never talked to anybody.
right.
Scarred up all over the place.
Yeah, but would still show up at our places where everyone hung out. Like, come on.
Right. I mean, if a dude comes into town, got his little shell necklace on, no shirt, and got his blue jean jacket on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Riding a bike, you jump on the back and you go.
Yeah. Yeah. He
was really good looking back then.
Hey, right, Charlie Sheen. Like, yeah. He was all right, I guess. I don't know.
This movie challenged my memories of what good looking people looked like in the 80s. Because I was like, at first, I was like, ooh, Nick Cassavetes, man, this guy looks ugly. And then as the movie wore on, I'm like, wow, he's kind of attractive. Right, and I don't understand what happened in my brain.
When Cassavetes goes shirtless, you're reminded the dude had a pretty good physique in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy was all right. But by the way, second Cassavetes film, can you guess the first one we've seen him in? Here on Film Sack.
He's been on Film Sack before, but I can't remember.
And it was a Nick Cassavetes, not a John Cassavetes film?
It was a Nick Cassavetes, and it was him as an actor in the film, small role.
I remember we talked about his bit role in Face Off.
There
right?
you go. That's the one.
Okay. I was going to guess Warriors, but yeah.
He's very bald in Face Off, and he's a bad guy, but he's also kind of sympathetic, and I really like his role in that, and I'd forgotten that this is the same guy. And it weirded me out the entire time I watched The Wraith that this was the dude in Face Off. Freaked me out. But anyway.
But was he just not the best in that role? I mean, you just absolutely hated this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's, you know, he's so slathered on with the bad guy trope with the, all right, I've got my woman. If I can't have her, nobody's going to have her. And, you know, why doesn't she just go to the police and say, I'm getting stalked by this guy. Can you do something about this?
Why didn't anybody, think about it. This entire movie is based on a ridiculous notion that you're carrying around a pink piece of paper in your car.
Yeah. Yes.
And if someone else takes possession of that piece of paper, that's it. Yep. They own the car now.
This is such a comic book world, though. No. I mean, this is an alternate reality. And it's,
I would love
to see more of it.
That I give you. It is an alternate reality. You're never going to see more of it. They'll never remake this. This will never be good again.
I want to see it as a comic book. I would read this as a comic book, novel.
Scott, you just made me want to start over. Okay.
All right.
I started watching this movie, and I had an experience that I hope a lot of people would if you're watching it for the first time. And maybe if, like me, you didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
Because I seriously had no idea this movie existed.
I didn't either.
I started watching this movie completely cold, completely blank slate. And I checked what year it was made. Because 2 minutes into the film, I'm like, is this a 2016 film pretending to be 30 years old?
It totally feels like it. I think I even put that in the Slack yesterday afternoon.
Yeah,
that you did.
This is if somebody was going to make a 2017 film and wanted to make it look like it was 26 or 1986, this is exactly what it would look like.
Yeah, and not only that.
Honestly, I seriously didn't give up that thought until we finally see Charlie Sheen on the motorcycle. And then I was like, okay, I know this isn't a digitally remapped Charlie Sheen face.
They Tarkened Sheen.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but up until that point, everything felt like it was punching above its weight. This movie has a certain pedigree, and in the photography of the film, it punches way over its pedigree. It's way better than it has any right to be. Beautiful cinematography, beautiful treatments, just like
blowing things behind smoke, behind the thing you're supposed to see, like whether it's the tombstone or the big K hamburger shack or whatever.
Sure.
Really cool lighting effects.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you, if B movies offend you, turn the sound off and watch the first 30 minutes of this film just without the sound on.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice the cinematography is really good. Yeah. What is this? Where did this movie come from?
Does not deserve to look that cool. Like, it's weirdly like the vistas of the desert at night or in the morning, or when he's on that motorcycle for the first time coming down that road, that stuff's gorgeous. It really is pretty. Like, how are the hell, who's the cinematographer on this damn thing? And the director, I looked him up.
Mike Marvin.
He just makes a bunch of shit one thing after another. It's all garbage.
Don't say it. He made Hot Dog the movie, or at least he produced it.
He also made Hamburger the movie. All right.
Yeah, Hamburger the motion picture. Get the name right.
Sorry. The motion picture. His movies are bad.
I want more of this.
He made a borderline porn.
If you look at the cinematographer, I'll bet he's got a big career after this, as opposed to the writer director.
Right.
Yeah. He went on in 1997 to make a movie called Madame Savant. A traveling girl stumbles into prostitution only to become a high priced madam. That is like hard, soft. What kind? I don't know what kind of porn it is, but it's porn.
Hard, soft.
hard soft porn.
Hardcore, softcore, it's medium core.
Name one movie he's been involved with as a director that's any good. Like, we've got Hamburger the Motion Picture, The Wraith, Wishman, Renegade, The Dragon's Gate, Maui Heat. This is where we start getting into the sexy.
Have you ever seen Hot Dog the movie?
Yes, it's terrible.
It's a skiing thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is the, you know, there's a whole slew of these hot dog movies that you know, those skiing movies right. that happened around. I'm trying to figure out if it was the first one or if it was, because that was the one I really remember.
Was there a Kenny Loggins song involved?
Right.
Yeah.
I hope so.
He didn't direct that. He co-produced it, but clearly some of that rubbed off for later when he made this and other stuff. But he's just he's a hack job director. So whoever the cinematographer is, have freaking hats off to that guy.
Cinematographer is a guy named Reed Smoot.
Reed
Smoot. He also did Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey in 1993.
Oh, that's a nice looking movie now.
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers 3D Experience and the Justin Bieber movie Never Say Never.
Oh, weird.
Let's see. Granite Falls he just did. Boy, there's a lot of crap on here. I guess he's really gotten into the music thing because he did Britney Spears Live, Justin Bieber, Jonas Brothers, Hannah Montana concert.
So this thing is just a fluke. Let's just say it. This thing is just a fluke.
Right.
It just happened.
Oh, but Scott, you've seen Legacy, right?
Have I?
It's one of the Mormon movies.
No, I don't see those. Right. I hate those. Are you kidding me? They're the worst. They're like, what? Listen, we have, so here in Utah, where there's a large Mormon population, we have this. What? We have a kind of a weird local cinema thing that's a lot like down south, Brian, where you are, where they do like that Kirk Cameron shit and all that.
Oh my God, we're every time a Kirk Cameron movie comes out. I mean, it's like. Mm-hmm. They put it in the big screen at the theater. I mean, it's always, you know, the top one.
And I hate them. And I hate all of them. And the ones here are no different. They're just pandery, and they are they speak to a particular denominator that's supposed to be, you know, kind of in on it. And therefore, that's how they. I mean, it's, for me, it feels like a cheap, weird cash grab. I hate it. I can't freaking stand it.
I'm with you. It really is a cash grab because, I mean, there's such a large population that's going to go see it built in.
Yeah.
But it's very quick. Usually it's like the movie comes out. It's mandatory for everybody to go see it because you go with your church group. Yeah. And then like 2 weeks later, it's done.
Yeah, you're done. And you're out. It's a quick flash and you're out. So I answer your question, Randy. No, I have not seen nor will I ever see Legacy or any of those. The only one I ever saw had it was called Church Ball. And it was all it was all about a Mormon basketball team, which, you know, when you're growing up, you have teams.
Yeah, mandatory.
Youth teams.
For the future.
And but the reason I watched it is because it had Gary Coleman was in it.
What?
Yep.
That's like the opposite of basketball. How can he be in it?
He was in it. And then, in fact, that's why he moved out here. He ended up moving out here. He died out here because
he's a security guard, right?
Yeah. Well, he moved out here because he was doing the movie Church Ball. And loved it, and so he bought a house in Santa Quinn and lived out his days there. But anyway, what was my point? Oh, and the bishop of this movie was who's the guy that went into the porn theater in California and got busted? He's like in his 70s. He's old. He was in all the like Best in Show. He was like one of the Fred Ward. No,
Fred Willard.
That's it.
Yeah,
Fred Willard's in it. Like it actually has a decent cast, but it was like one of these local. Cinema piece is a thing, and it's the only one I saw. And outside of that, freaking forget it. I have zero interest in any of those. I hate them.
So when I was living in Central Texas, I had a few friends who were Mormons, and one of them, his wife had been collecting these movies.
Yeah.
And like, so she had all these like VHS tapes in like 2007. Oh, yes, she had all these VHS tapes, and they had names like God's Army and The Other Side of Heaven, and. Well, God's, of the Restoration.
God's Those Army. Freak me. God's Army is like 2001, but I take your point. It's not
Those
that
things
old.
Freak me out because if you don't live in like a real heavy church area, you'll come home, like, and you'll check the mail, and there'll be a VHS all the way up to probably in the last couple of years of, you know, some Christian movie. And you're like, where'd this come from? Why is it in my mailbox? So, isn't this a federal crime? You can't do that.
I've just realized that one of those movies is called Legacy. And it's about Mormon pioneers, you know, in the early 19th century, this kind of, it's a really typical one of these movies.
Yeah.
And the cinematographer is this same guy, this Reed Smoot guy.
Smoot.
Smoot is a common, Oh, you know what? That dude's LDS. That's why. I know this name now. Yeah, he's known around, he's known around here. So wait a minute.
Family of Smoots in our church.
I cannot wait to tell people that Reed Smoot was involved in the Wraith. That's amazing. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he made the Wraith way better than it needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Oh, this is super interesting. Now you're putting me down a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
There's also a really old guy from 1862 named Reed Smoot. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. He was born in Salt Lake City.
But I was about to say, did he do this? Because he'd be kind of old.
Maybe they're
I'd be doing
Reed right. Smoot hearings. Oh, my Lord. I can't do this now. All right. Hey, here's some trivia for you. Johnny Depp, who was then dating Cheryl Fenn, was present during the filming, even the part where she was left booby.
Left boob.
She was living in the film's crew hotel.
It was her right boob.
It was her. Oh, that's true. Because it was facing us. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was the right boob. No. So. Wasn't I was curious about boob. That because in this movie, you never saw both boobs in the two different times there were boobs. Oh, is yeah. there like a different rating if you show both boobs?
I assumed the two girls in question only had one boob each.
Right. Yeah.
One good boob between the two
if
of
you
them.
Show, yeah. If you show both boobs, you get your SAG card.
Yeah, that's right. You get your SAG card.
This is PG. This was PG-13, which was like one of the first or like in some couldn't have been too long. Right.
For yeah, PG-13. I'm guessing that we saw an edit that was specifically edited to make a PG-13 rating in right. coordination with the ratings yeah. board. Because like. I was surprised when I went and looked up the rating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I really thought this was going to get an R. Okay.
Yeah, I would have right. given it easily an R. In fact, until you guys just said that, I assumed R. But yeah, PG-13. Look at that.
According to IMDb, it says the film was given an R rating due to the nudity, which was then excised to earn a PG-13 rating. So I think we saw the R version on...
We get might like be right.
Director's
you
cut.
Might be
and,
right.
And Sherilyn Fenn is famous for her... like giving panel talks about actresses being exploited in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I like, this is clearly one of the films she's been talking about for the last 25 years. One of the places where she was hired to do a job. And then they told her on the set, hey, why don't you pull your bathing suit down and then it'll make the movie better. And she
just one boob. Just one boob.
Just one boob. Okay. Just one boob.
Movie better.
Yeah.
But seriously, like she talked about how this was a thing and it drove her insane. And so she, you know, had to kind of stop accepting roles or working with certain people and this kind of thing. And this is clearly one of the movies that is part of that sort of scandal.
Yeah. She's got
it's funny because she's done nudity recently in like True Blood. Mm-hmm. She did nudity in that.
Do we
Shameless,
still want to see it?
I don't.
Well, listen, she probably, maybe the True Blood thing or her more modern take, maybe she's getting to call the shots. Like my problem has never been, is if somebody wants to, if a woman says, hey, I think my role would be enhanced if I, you know, left boobed it, then that's different than some creepy director going, you know what you gotta do, you gotta freaking plop your boob out, and well, you didn't tell me about that before I signed the contract. Well, yeah, but if you don't do it, I'm just gonna hire another actor. Like that's where I get real uncomfortable about that stuff, is because I don't know whose motivation it is. If it's hers, great, that's her choice. She should get to choose that. Just as much as, you know, do you think they begged Bruce Willis to flop his wiener out in that one pool scene, in that one movie? What's that movie called?
Color of Night.
Color of Night, where he's got a flaccid wiener in the pool. Like, I don't think Bruce Willis was pressured to do that. He was probably like, yeah, dude, let's do it. Just, we'll have a few laughs, he says.
Come on to the set. I'll take off my pants. We'll have a few laughs.
We definitely had, I had a few laughs, I'll tell you that much. But the point is, like, if it's her choice, great. But you never, I don't think it's hardly ever their choice, especially when they're young. And they get
there's got to be a lot of pressure. I mean, we already know there's a lot of body image pressure when it comes to being an actress in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. And this is 86. So even more so, because we had like this 86. I mean, wasn't Brooke Shields like in Blue Lagoon underage, like around this time?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
a couple years earlier than this.
Yeah, a few years earlier, but
82, 83, something like that. And but Charlie Sheen also, so when they're in the pool there and that's going on, all I can think about is you have no idea what kind of creeper you're in there with. He is the biggest creeper ever. One day he's going to have 50 porn stars in his house and he's going to get HIV from one of them. Like he is like gross.
Right.
And there you are flopping out lefty booby. Like,
I don't think you can get anything from left boob showing, but you know, I get your point.
I thought his performance was really good. Like, there's like a Charlie Sheen vacuum for me between the mid 80s and whenever Two and a Half Men happens.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, what's my other Charlie Sheen reference? Well, him with a mohawk sitting in Ferris Bueller's police department. Like, that's my other Charlie Sheen. Right? Yeah. No, wait, that's his brother. Never mind.
No, that's Charlie Sheen.
No, that's Charlie Sheen.
That's Charlie.
That's not Emilio. That's Charlie.
Okay, good. That's good.
It's easy to mix him up.
So, like, I don't have any reference for whether or not he was an actor then. I know they added him to the list of people you named when you were referencing the Brat Pack, but I don't know.
He did a lot of things. Minute Work was great. I mean,
that was later, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm talking a little bit later.
Are you talking about around that specific time?
Yeah.
There was Red Dawn.
Right.
Then he was in
Lucas.
Was he in Lucas? Right.
He was in Lucas with Corey Haim, and Winona Ryder. He was the guy that got the girl that Corey Haim wanted.
Wasn't that later? Right. Was that later or earlier? That was earlier than this.
Same year, actually.
Brat Pack because he was a partier in Hollywood. He was already in there.
You could see him hanging out with Rob Lowe and drinking up and stuff like that. And Judd Nelson.
But so the thing that I remember first from him was Ferris Bueller. That's my memory of my first encounter with him is him sitting in that police station making out with Jennifer Grey. So there's that. And then I loved Red Dawn. I thought that was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
And
yes.
Of course he was in that, but he was kind of low key in that, like barely, not much of a role. Yeah. And so for me, the thing that seems like it was Charlie Sheen's moment was probably Platoon, and that was much later.
No, that was the same year as this.
Oh, it was?
But my point
all
is...
All of these things were 86.
What the
Platoon,
freak?
Platoon, The Wraith, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Lucas.
Are you shitting me?
It was a good year.
That's crazy to me that Platoon and this exist in the same year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You got to remember, there's a lot of implied Sheen in this movie. There's not a lot of actual Sheen in this movie.
That's what I was going to say. I liked his acting, but in the end, I realized this isn't a Charlie Sheen movie. This is a Nick Cassavetes movie. Charlie Sheen had like five lines.
But this is
usually in the car.
Yeah, no kidding. But what you guys are telling me is like saying the same year Jennifer Lawrence was in Hunger Games was the exact same year that she was in a McDonald's commercial. You know what I mean?
Right.
That seems so strange to me. I don't have a good concept of time because when I think about movies that are that old, it doesn't click. Like this seems like 1,000 years before Platoon. That's crazy. Right. Anyway, sorry. I'm a little blown away by this.
I actually feel like this is later than Platoon. For some reason, it feels like a late 80s movie to me.
It's really interesting to talk about the movies from 1986 because this film reminded me a lot of Top Gun because of the music.
Yeah. Sure.
And so I was thinking along, like, as I'm going, I'm like, what does this have in common with Top Gun? Oh, they were made at the exact same time. Okay. So 1986, also the year of Crocodile Dundee and Stand By Me and Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home, and so
aliens,
on. Like, 1986 is pretty much now the standing tallest year for film sack.
It's crazy.
84 was some of the best. 86 was some of the most interesting.
Yeah, some of the most interesting. Right. A fair way of saying that. Here's some other weird. So, were you guys bugged at all that the movie never explained the body brace things that would always fall off and then?
Yeah, no, I couldn't figure that out. Like for each gang member and different. Unless that was like his.
Yeah, like a little totem kind of.
Maybe not a totem, but maybe some sort of shackles kind of thing.
Like,
until he got rid of all four shackles, he wasn't free to go to Santa Barbara with.
And the shackle they didn't mention was the Clint Howard one around his crotch. They didn't discuss it.
No,
right. He's like, oh, right. Clint Howard, we can keep that one on.
Yeah. Can you explain what was going on with his pants for me? Clint Howard's pants.
Clint Howard's pants.
Yeah, Clint Howard had a weird pants thing going on.
Just
I don't
really. High.
Clint, this was a very young Clint Howard, a little heavier set. He still had hair. And I mean, like a white
boy,
fro,
did he have hair.
White man fro. Yeah,
hair.
I mean, it was interesting.
Do you think that was his hair?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He has hair now. But look at his IMDb photo now; it's recent, and he has hair. So he shaves.
Well,
it
he just has a receding line now. Not necessarily. He's not really.
He's
bald,
got. He's got long, curly, gross, disgusting, salty, pepper-looking locks now. It's really his IMDb photo is horrifying. It's really something else. Right.
That one tooth peeking through saying, hello,
hello, it's me again, hello.
What are you guys doing out here?
I was like the nicest
oh, guy. Oh, he is. I'm sure he is.
He's 10 years older than us, too.
He's ugly as shit, that's all. But at most everyone in this movie is 10 Unique. Years older than me and Brian. They're like, everyone's born in 59 in this movie. All these actors, it feels like. And you look at them all now. Like, if you go look at a picture of the dude that played Skank.
David Sherrill.
Holy shit.
He looks like Gordon Ramsay.
He looks like he's doing a commercial for the AARP or something. Like, it doesn't look like Skank at all.
He's the right age for that, you know. He's born in 59.
Wait, if your erection lasts more than 4 hours, like, that guy's seriously.
Did clap and applaud. Good job.
One nice thing that's interesting about the movie is Cheryl Fenn, Charlie Sheen, and his future ex-wife, Denise Richards, all went on to play different episodes of Friends. I didn't realize there was so much Charlie Sheen connection in Friends before.
Oh, yes, yes. He was huge in that.
Yeah. No idea.
He liked Phoebe's sister, right?
The twin.
Okay, that's the flimsiest trivia I've ever heard. It named somebody who isn't even in the race.
Okay, now you've just thrown down the gauntlet. You think that's the flimsiest trivia you've ever heard? I've got one that's better and more flimsy, and it's from the same movie. So here, hold on to your butts.
Let's go.
How dumb is this one? Is what I wrote. The scar. This is literally in the spoiler section of the IMDb for this movie. That's a good context to keep this in mind. Right. The scars on Jake's body matches where Jamie was cut and stabbed when Packard and his gang killed him.
Wow.
That's not trivia. That's more like good continuity.
That's just some bullshit. Like,
I paid attention. Here's a cookie.
Stupid trivia, man. Sometimes the IMDb has got trivia problems. Sometimes.
It really, like Randy said, this movie is better than it deserves to be. And that's like some of the attention to detail that came out. The fact that there's a scene where, you know, he gets cut in every place that there are scars on the character. I mean, that takes a lot of coordination between, you know, makeup and director and everybody. It's wild stuff.
Do you guys remember the Ozzy Osbourne album, The Ultimate Sin? When I was in high school, this is the concert I went and saw Ozzy at, was this his tour for The Ultimate Sin album in 1986, and it had this song on there called Secret Loser. The whole album is pretty shitty. It's not good Ozzy Osbourne. The album cover's awesome. The music is really pretty bad.
Okay, there we're going to have to agree to disagree, but go on.
All right. It has its moments. Shot in the Dark's okay. Like, there's some stuff on there that's okay. But I did not expect Ozzy music in this, and that put me in a place, man. When they're racing and I heard Secret Loser, I just started going, oh my gosh, I'm 16 again. It's crazy.
It is a highlight of the soundtrack, right? Because you've got Ozzy Osbourne with what I thought was an original song for this movie. I guess not, but not a very good song either. Secret Loser, I guess, is not a good album,
Brian. The whole
does he
thing
lose secrets sucks. Or yeah. is he a loser right. in secret?
It's a bad line.
There's no secret to it. He's a loser.
It's a bad movie. It's a bad song. Right. It's a bad album. Randy and I can fight about this off air, but it's a bad album anyway.
And then you've got the rehash, or not the rehash, but I mean, you've got Billy Idol's Rebel Yell, and you've got Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love, which were both popular at the time. And then the rest of it is, it's like 80s soundtrack music, but not quite. You've got almost music by almost Lou Gramm.
Yeah.
And Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Almost. It's just about Corey Hart, but not quite there. Right, exactly.
Yes. It's almost Corey Hart. Yeah.
In fact, here, I'm going to give you the opening song. This is like nothing you've ever heard.
Don't take a lot to keep me moving. It's going to take a lot to make me stop. I'm racing to a 5 alarm.
What the hell is that? That's terrible.
That's not terrible.
Tim Feehan, right?
It's who?
Tim Feehan?
I don't know who that is.
He did other songs like this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's a feature song written for the movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what we thought. Yeah.
Yep. You're the best around.
You drive a Dodge Chrysler and you're gonna win.
Yeah.
You're the best.
You're the best, exactly. But that Ozzy song, I mean, listen how bad this is. This is so like cookie cutter Ozzy. I hate it. Yeah. So, he was losing it by then. I didn't like it.
There's a Stan Bush song on there, Hearts versus Heads. Tim Feehan, you're right. Yeah, Where's the Fire by Tim Feehan, who I've never heard of before. What else has he done?
Yeah, what else is he known for?
Said songs like this for movies like this.
Oh, well, then I probably have heard Tim Feehan before, because this is very reminiscent of like other stuff we've seen.
Oh, wow. this is his earliest credit, but yeah, he's got stuff on, you know, License to Kill, Bubblegum Babylon, Pepper Dennis, Ugly Betty, One Tree Hill.
Was that all one title, or was that multiple titles that you
those
just
are
gave?
Multiple titles. Okay.
Because I really like the sound of that. That sounded great.
I actually found the music to be like not congruous with the cars, which is kind of what I needed. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Again, it's like the leftover music that didn't get used in Top Gun, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was all relatively new. But the cars were all from the late 60s to late 70s. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're watching Top Gun, you're seeing these planes. You don't realize the planes are 10 and 20 years old. They just look like new, hot, fast planes, right?
Right.
And the idea was to make... Go ahead.
Music kind of supports it. It's fast music. It's exciting music.
Sure, but Tony Scott's just a better damn director. That's really what this comes
down to. Totally agree. Totally agree. I just felt like this music was such a bunch of leftover crap. Yeah. They may as well, like, if they had the money to buy this music, they should have gotten music that fit the cars, that went with the Corvette and the Firebird and the MG
muscle
and
car
so
music
on.
Kind of stuff.
Muscle car music, like they did for Supernatural. Great soundtrack.
Or just get some classic 70s stuff. Just some the Lowrider or you know something. Get something in there that fits the bill. And it just none of this did. It's just loser.
Let's face it,
secret loser. Like let me tell you something about that Secret Loser song real quick that I almost forgot. When he came in concert, all right, freaking Metallica opened for them. And it was Master of Puppets open. They opened for Ozzy that year, and it was amazing. They were incredible, and I heard them and went, "Oh my gosh, Metallica is here to stay!" And literally, they have been one of the most longstanding metal bands ever. They were great. Ozzy comes out in like a robe or something that was all sequined up. He sat in some big throne thing and never got up. He didn't eat heads off of bats.
Sat down for the entire concert.
Yep, he didn't eat a head off a bat. He didn't do any of the shit he's known for. He just sat on a thing. His guitarist, two guitar guys, one of them was Randy Rhodes or whatever. Was that his name?
Right.
Anyway,
Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, they were kicking A and moving and jumping around, and he just sat there going.
But wasn't that part of it? Wasn't that part of the whole tie-in with the music videos he was doing though? Weren't all those where he was like on the king of the throne or whatever? Or
maybe, but I think he's just tired and darkness. Full of drugs. I think he's full of drugs. Yeah. And just sitting there I couldn't stand up. It really bummed me out. I remember being bummed.
Sharon was like, "Okay, we're just gonna sit down for this one.
I'm so full of drugs. I'm just gonna sit down for this one. I'm sorry."
Yeah. He couldn't. I mean, Crazy Train from a sitting position. Freaking F off. That sucks. That's no good.
You should ask for your money back.
I should still to this day. I should ask.
I just want to avert the emails. This is Jake Lee as guitar player for Ozzy. Randy Rhodes had died.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
when was Rhodes? Huh. Are you sure in 86 he wasn't there?
I'm sure it was Jake Lee on Ultimate Sin. Yes.
There seemed like there was some big deal. It seemed like there was some big deal about the guitarist that year, and then the tour they made a big deal out of it. And I cannot now. Maybe it wasn't Randy Rhodes though. Maybe it was somebody else who toured with him that was a big deal. I don't remember. Shit, it's something like that. Anyway, Brian Dunaway, you were saying something, and I had that memory, and I had to get it out of my system. What were you saying?
Who cares? What you said was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Was it something about the sweaty police room? Was it about that with all the smoke?
Yeah, that was tropey. That's typical. Yeah. I saw that coming. Yeah.
Randy Quaid in there making
paper dolls.
Everything in the movie is a little dirty. Did you notice, like, it cut against the grain of car enthusiasm. Like, their workshop where they were always cleaning cars was out in the middle of a dirt pile. And so when they would drive the cars out of the workshop, they would be driving in this cloud of dirt. I'm like, okay, no car enthusiast would have their barn there. Mm-hmm. They're just, I don't know what it should have been, but it's not that.
Yeah. Squatter's rights. That's how they got there.
Yeah. I don't picture the Packard gang to be that, you know, that focused on, oh no, my Dodge Charger is getting dust on it.
They were Corvette. Super focused on all of that.
I thought they were just stripping the cars to sell them or something, right? Because they're always talking about how much they could get for it or what it was worth. Right.
They're absolutely a car gang. Well, they got their tech guy making tech that makes no sense whatsoever.
the radio. What was the thing that he stuck in there? A radio?
It was like a
kill switch.
He said it. If the guy tries to run away or loses and doesn't give him his car, they can kill his electrics. Well, why not? You're just going to kill his electrics anyway. Yeah. Like, why would he let you put that in his car?
Yeah, it's stupid.
He didn't care.
It's stupid.
He's like, I'm the Wraith.
Yeah. He opened that up and inside there was like Tron, you know, like
it was Tron or something from Ghostbusters. It was
total Ghostbusters. And in fact, when it showed, it showed Clint Howard staring in there with that big blue sky behind that giant hair. That was very Ghostbuster-y. Didn't you think?
Yeah. I loved that Packard was like, I'm not cornered looking at that. Clint Howard's like, come here, look at this Packard. He's like, nah.
Yeah. I know. I'd be curious to see like, what's up, Packard. You don't want to see what's inside this mysterious car that no one has ever seen before.
Yeah. Nah, I'm good.
He's the worst. Good. Packard. That name alone irritated me because all I could think about was the worst computers ever made. Hewlett Packard,
right?
Or not Hewlett Packard. Packard Bell. Sorry, Packard Bell.
Though, because he was such a dick, but you could never scare him because he just didn't give a crap, and it was just you wanted him dead, but he didn't care if he was dead or not. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was kind of fun.
He sucked. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Such a comic book character.
No.
Yeah.
He's bad. He's so tropey and bad. He's like somebody, it's like somebody's dad made this movie. This wasn't they didn't nail the kids, like the kid culture stuff, all wrong across the board. Nobody behaves like that. Nobody talks like that. Nobody is like that at all, except maybe Burger Flipper Kid and maybe Charlie Sheen and the girl. Which I have my own issues with. Was he a zombie? Is he a ghost? What is he? And is she doing it? I mean, if she's having sex with a zombie,
he's a Wraith. Well, it's the name of the movie.
He's a demon spirit, and it ain't cool.
It ain't cool, man. I may have recorded that, I think.
He's back from the dead. He's a demon spirit, and it ain't cool.
That's maybe the best line in the whole movie. But you understand my point. They run off together in the end.
Right.
Is he a fleshy dude?
He's the embodiment, you know, he's not a zombie for sure, obviously, because he's like a different person. They just couldn't reuse Jamie's old body, so they gave him a new one and sent him back to get vengeance, I guess.
Right. Did he take his own? I wanted to think that he did it himself. I don't think the universe really helped him, because he's like, at the very beginning when there's the two dueling lights and then there's like three or four and they all merge from the different directions and they all, and it's like he does it, you know, he brings himself back
maybe
to free his girlfriend, because for some reason this girl is at the burger shack waiting on crazy man to come pick her up because he told her to. She's even said it, they're not dating or anything, but she's like, she's just hanging out waiting for him. Stupid Carrie.
She's an enabler.
Right.
Yeah. Carrie is an enabler. Yeah.
It's weird.
Scott, I want to say, every time I heard the name Packard, I thought of old luxury cars. I genuinely thought I was going to look at the names of all the characters and find the connections to old cars. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't.
Oh, that would be clever, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nash. A character named Nash and a character named
Instead we get Augie and Rughead.
All I could think of was Packard Bell and how shitty those computers are and how they broke all the time and how awful they
Acer.
Were. Yeah.
Here's my buddy Acer.
Acer and Packard Bell. Actually, Acer still does stuff, I think. I think they're still
fun. They do.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they do all right now. All right. So what else? We other things. Sweaty police room. I already said. Oh,
Tombstone. How long are you gonna park in front of that tombstone not realize that it's got your name on it?
Yeah,
it was so fun. He just didn't notice. Then he's freaked out.
Ultimate, the best rear end in the history of films, though. When he gets hit in the rear end and then flies all the way, 900 yards
pushed.
Through the thing.
It was like he was pushed.
Yeah,
through a cemetery.
This was the first time I remember seeing the surprise car where things are, you know, you have a race and you're running along really fast and you're watching the car run and then suddenly there's something stopped. Yeah. And that happens a couple of times in this movie.
Well, trope alert. Get a trope alert on that.
Yeah, because
this is the first time I remember seeing it. Did it happen a lot before this?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm glad Randy referred to it as a trope, because the only thing I thought I remembered about this movie, and I don't think I've seen it, but it was this idea of a car coming out of the mist, being parked, you run into it, everyone dies, but the car somehow reassembles and goes away. And I don't know where I've seen that, but I know I have. And I don't think
it's
this movie.
Could it be 1970s, The Car, or stuff like that? I mean,
maybe. Christine, maybe.
Christine?
Was it Christine?
Oh, by the way, I went down a rabbit hole of of great horror car movies, and I wanted to go back and see The Car from the 70s. I've seen it, just bits and pieces of it, on Saturday afternoon movies. Mm-hmm. And I've never watched it all the way through, but man, that looks like a
Yeah, you a sent us a link to it, The Car. Evil drives The Car?
That seems like a movie we should watch. I mean,
James Brolin.
Maybe
Christopher Lloyd, is that right?
Christopher Lloyd.
I'm only seeing the last names. Oh, Kathleen Lloyd.
Yeah.
John Marley, so not Bob Marley.
Yeah, just different Lloyds. This was the 70s.
So Ronnie Cox.
There's a scene in The Simpsons where Chief Wiggum's doing a late night chase and the car in front of him turns their lights off and Wiggum assumes he goes, oh no, it's a ghost car. And maybe that's what I'm thinking of, because I've got some weird memories of ghost cars that appear and make you crash and then they're okay.
Futurama, when Bender gets bit.
Oh, that's
and he turns
great.
Into the car.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. If you haven't seen that, folks at home, that's a great episode of Futurama.
The related trope I kept thinking about was the every car is made of a ball of gasoline trope.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Right?
Here's
jet fuel.
Here's the theme for
it was flip over and your car explodes.
Here's the theme for what'd you call it? Trope? Reverse trope? Here you go.
Scrutiny.
There you go. Screw
my it reminded me of when we watched Last Action Hero for our 100th episode.
Mm-hmm. Right,
remember
right.
how every time someone would, you know, touch a car, it would explode in a great big ball
mm-hmm,
of fire?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This film, man, oh my gosh. That and then as if the cars weren't enough, their workshop was apparently made of fireworks. Like
that was literally like there were fireworks that shot out. It was that's what they had to be part of their plan.
I kind of wanted a retrospective on this, like a documentary on this, the making of this film. Like, what were they doing to make those explosions?
Yeah. Also, there's a little inconsistency I'd like to point out about explosions. In the first car explosion, whatever that guy's name was, Meathead or whatever, the first dude.
Augie, they show
a picture of him after the effect, after the fact, laying there on a gurney with his eyes all burned out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
there's
that. But then later, the other deaths are, they don't involve that at all. That's a thread they lose. It's no longer like the calling card of the Wraith to have your eyes burned out. It's just, oh, that guy's dead. And then the third death, or the final death of Cassavetes, he's just naked and unburned. Like,
right. They're all unburned.
They're all unburned.
Right.
But Cassavetes has his eyes closed. They don't have that eyeballs sucked out.
Because he wasn't looking at him, I suppose.
Why are they unburned?
And also the question, is he actually dead?
Why are they unburned? What's the point of that? Why? Why can't they be burned?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just what the Wraith does.
Right.
Freaking Wraith.
There's a lot of things in this movie that are like that. Why is the engine in his car so weird? It's just what the Wraith does. Like, mm-hmm. That's the answer
the deal
to everything.
With the bracers and
Yeah.
That whole thing where every time there's a massive explosion, there's these linkages from a steering column left over, mm-hmm. and the Wraith consumes them. That could have been so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That could have been really interesting, but it was just, we're going to hand wave.
I like the idea of it absorbing the power of the previous car, consuming it, and then his car maybe would get augmented or improved.
Like, I was watching this movie as a 10-year-old again suddenly, and I'm like, I wanted to pick my favorite car. Do you want the Firebird with the ridiculous intake on the hood, or do you want the Corvette with the ridiculously bad paint job? You know, it was really appealing to that.
Yep.
But the movie didn't seem to want to go there.
Nope.
It was just like presenting things and then moving on instead of celebrating them like you would when you were a boy.
I agree.
Well, they had a love story to tell. So
they sure did.
A documentary about this. I'm trying to find the name of it, but it's let's see here.
Really,
it's maybe like a making of the DVD or something.
A making of the Wraith thing or something.
There's definitely some car stuff because the car is coveted that they used in this movie. And by the way, if you haven't seen the trivia, there's like four or five of these cars, and some of them are the real car, and some of them are just. The body molds over top of dune buggies, and you can really tell those because they'll cut to some of the lower shots where the cars are running, and you can see it's just empty underneath it.
Yeah.
Looks like it's two documentaries on the DVD. One, an interview with Clint Howard called Rughead Speaks, And then another one called Ride of the Future, which is just interviews with all the car transportation coordinator, Gary Hellerstein.
Right.
Oh, man.
So he talks about the cars.
Can we talk about the M4S Interceptor?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the main car.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I just felt like a little kid. Like, oh, man, when I first saw it, I was taken back to a time when you would make a concept car and show it off at Indianapolis or something in a race, and then people would be like, I want that car to be in production, and you know, boys that I knew would talk about how one day they're gonna grow up and own that car and so on. And it was just so, like, everything about it was just so perfect. It was completely different than all the other sports cars in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. In real life, the M4S was really fast. Like, and it was a tiny little engine on a very lightweight car.
Four cylinder, right?
Yeah, and they had captured the sound of a ridiculously fast four cylinder engine, right? And like, just like, I just kept wanting to, I don't know, but like, I wanted there to be a documentary that went along with this, where you would go see how Dodge made the Interceptor and what in the world they were thinking, and right, how they made a bunch of copies of it for this movie, and some of them they destroyed, but some of them they kept pristine and so on. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. It's just not, this is not a thing in movies ever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. We don't care about cars anymore.
We don't care. Right. As Tommy Lee Jones
there actually
would say.
Was a movie not too
fast,
long ago.
It's kind of fast and sort of furious.
Yeah.
Right, sort of furious.
Kind of fast, sort of fast, but slightly furious.
But you'll notice the Fast and the Furious movies never do this. They never have, like, someone with a special super concept, and then everybody wants to know what it is, and everybody wants to drive it, and you know Vin Diesel will get to drive it by the end of the movie or whatever. Right. Like, it just, no, they're a celebration of existing well-known cars, and that's that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. No concept. Yeah.
Nice.
We're really going through something during that time with, you know, Knight Rider and this movie and a bunch of other movies of that type and TV shows.
What was the car? Viper? That's, remember that
Viper
show?
Viper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we had a thing with, I don't know, cars larger than life kind of thing. Maximum Overdrive was around this time, maybe a little earlier or whatever. But yeah, like, cars, man, that's where it's at. I don't think we're going to go through that phase again. I think sentient car storylines, I think we're done with that.
I don't know. I think in our lifetimes we'll see another resurgence of it, like a series of films where the car is evil. Probably a Christine reboot or something.
Ooh. You know what I blame? Mm. I blame James Bond.
Yeah.
Because true story. In every James Bond movie up to a point, there's a big deal made about a special fitted car and everything.
Right.
And then it just fizzles. Like, we just don't.
Wasn't Roger Moore with the car that would go underwater? And what was that one?
Submersible. Yeah. Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
That was so fun.
Octopussy had one too. A submersible. Lotus, I think it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That one. What's the one with the mustache lady? What's that one called? Shoot,
I think that's
they start skiing at the beginning.
Octopussy as well. No, I guess Octopussy. They start in Morocco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
I can't remember. And the Dr. Evil guy at the beginning has his he's got a cat.
You only live twice, maybe.
I think you might be right.
No, it's the other one. It's a late one with him, and they do
ski chase scene. Let's see. That would be from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Spy Who Loved Me.
No.
Due to a kill?
Nope. Give me a late.
Let's name all of them.
Give me the latest Roger Moore one you can think of. Like the most.
Roger Moore?
Yeah.
The World Is Not Enough?
No, that was Brosnan.
That was Brosnan.
View to a Kill, I think, was the last Roger Moore, wasn't it? And then went into Living Daylights?
Is it Free Your Eyes Only? No.
Oh, The Spy Who Loved Me?
No. Roger Moore.
This makes me realize we never need to watch a James Bond film on FilmSack.
He only did
six. We saw Moonraker. We loved it.
Oh, For Your Eyes Only. It is For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah, and there's a mustache lady in it. Anyway, the point is.
Wow.
What was my point? I don't even remember what my point was. I had a point.
The car films were killed by James Bond.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. That movie had an submersible underwater Lotus thing, I think. And that also had a lady with a mustache. It also had a guy who ate pistachios the entire freaking time.
Nice. So it was Chaim Topol, who we saw in Flash Gordon as Dr. Hans Zarkov. Right.
There you go.
P.S.
And he did not eat pistachios in that film.
Yeah.
P.S. There's like about a chase scene in snow in at least half the James Bond movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a stupid thing to even bring up because there's so many of them. Okay. Hey, quick message from a sponsor. We'll be right back. This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and they're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly on to you, the consumer. They are obsessively engineered mattresses at a very fair price. They're made of supportive memory foams for a sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night. That means keeping you cool. I like to be cool. I got my new Casper mattress and tried it out. It's so soft and comfortable, and it keeps me cool at night. Honestly, I love this thing. People say, oh, Scott, you're just saying it because there's an ad here. No. I literally love my Casper mattress. Like, I tell everyone about it, and they're all like, where'd you get this? And then I have to tell them the whole story, and it's great because I got it absolutely risk-free. I bought it online, and it came to me. I had 100 days to try it out, and in that 100 days, I got to make a decision. It was an easy one. Keep the thing, because I love it. You can try sleeping on it without going to some showroom. They send it directly to your door, and you just go for it. They understand the importance of truly a good mattress that in all reality you spend a third of your life on. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. That's 100 days, so don't go lie in that showroom. Count on Casper. They're all made in the USA. Free shipping in the USA and Canada as well, by the way. I would like to save you an additional $50. I can't talk today. I'd like to save you an additional $50 toward a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/filmsack and entering the promo code FilmSack. That's casper.com/filmsack and the promo code FilmSack. Terms and conditions may apply. Casper, they're awesome. All right, let's do clips. You guys want to do clips?
Oh, my goodness. Just play the whole movie. Just start it now.
All right, some good stuff in here. We'll start with this one. I already played the music, so let's do this one. This guy was always tweaking.
I'm tweaking, dude.
Now, if you ate and drank the things he ate and drank, you'd just die that day. You'd be dead.
You would
dead.
Get high. You would get dead.
Yeah. You'd get dead. You'd get low is what you'd get.
It made me want to have a Mad Max talk, though, because, like...
Right.
This was just straight out of Mad Max, right? Like, he's just a borrowed character.
Totally, the mohawk
like
and everything.
Like a light, like Mad Max light, because he doesn't even really have a mohawk as much as he just combs his hair on the sides down and on the top straight up, and then spray paints it or like puts mascara and other marks on his face. He's like the Adam Ant of punk rock.
Yeah,
right.
And I would say the Mad Max comparison works well for One or Road Warrior. Anything past that, they're much cooler characters than the Mad Max characters then. Because they all looked like just Mohawk punk guys back in the day. We weren't to the war boy future.
You're talking about how they look, and I'm talking about like spraying some fuel into your mouth or something.
No, a good point, yeah. Like a war boy, I see what you mean. Yeah, he was a bit like that. Now he's...
And so because of Mad Max, I'm like, I mean, he gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. We're just gonna wait for him to die.
Yeah. He's been in some recent stuff. The guy still worked. He had some.
All these guys, all the actors and actresses seem to have carried on.
One of them, the guy that acted like the kind of mentally challenged, greasy faced kid.
Gutter boy.
He's like a big time casting director in Hollywood. Like if you look at his credits, like this giant list of, oh no, maybe I'm thinking the wrong guy. Different guy. Maybe it was the one that died in the first car. But anyway, went on to do like major films that you know and love. He's like the main casting guy. He's like big popular casting guy now.
Yeah, usually Gutterboy we've seen also in Con Air as Con number 2.
Oh, big role.
Con 2.
Here's, what's this? Oh, Oh, who says this? Here, listen to this.
Skate, pal. Why, you still got your lips attached to your face.
No one ever says skate, pal.
Skate, pal. Look, guy.
Skate,
whatever.
Pal.
They had the language. They spoke like they, I think they wanted teenagers in early 20s to speak at the time, but it's not right. None of it was right. Right. It was like the way an old guy would think a young person would talk. That's like me talking about being on Fleek and need to call my bae and that kind of bullshit, right? It doesn't sound right coming out of me. Here's what's this? Oh, I don't know.
Look, do you mind if I lay my towel here? I ain't welcome over there. Why not?
This is creepy and weird. You mind if I lay my towel here? I ain't welcome over there.
He was like the biggest loser ever. I think his next line was like, if you ever need a burger, come by, I'll hook you up.
Yeah, he's a that's your
rap. Yep. That's what you got.
Yeah. Oh, he's the guy who's a casting director now, by the way, Matthew Barry.
That's who it is. And he was easily the most charming, handsome, and fun character of all of them, yet they made him out to be the nerd no one liked. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. It made no sense to me.
Did you watch him make a burger? You'll never eat a burger again. Oh no! Watch this guy make hamburgers.
Yeah, I'm not eating his burgers. Yeah, he's slinging hash, man.
Here's a paper tray full of chili.
Yep, exactly. Here's a line. Here's what I wrote. Here I wrote, "What are they talking about?" So this should be fun. Here we go.
A lot of duck butter out at the lake today, Pack. Queef City, here I come.
Queef City, here I come. Is that what he said?
Oh my gosh, that is. What? That whole dialogue was the most filthiest thing you've ever heard in your life. I didn't know what duck butter was.
We don't know what these terms mean.
And friends, don't look up duck butter. Let's just let that lie. Just look behind up us all.
Either. You don't want to see none of that.
Don't look up duck butter. You'll be better off if you don't.
Don't look up queef. Don't look up any of it.
Don't look up skank even.
I wouldn't even look up skank if I were you. Never heard this before is what I wrote.
Well, remind the cogstacker.
The cogstacker.
Cogstacker?
Cogstacker.
I thought it was cogstacker.
No, cog.
Hold on.
No, they call like it car guys. Different cogs. Utah.
Here, let me click it again.
Well, remind the cogstacker.
I think he calls the guy a cogstacker. And it's supposed to
sound like a G. It does sound like a G to me, a cog.
Well, remind the cogstacker.
Yeah, it does. Anyway.
Yeah, it is a little cog sounding. I don't know.
He works for Cogswell Cogstacker. Right. Cogs.
But all I know is the context of the scene was this was supposed to be an insult to somebody, and I could not figure out what the hell that insult is.
He's just nobody. He's just a cogstacker. He just doesn't do anything, right?
A guy that stacks cogs?
Yeah, he's nobody. He's just a piece in the machine.
Well, then now I'm sure somebody's grandpa wrote this movie. Because seriously.
Yeah, absolutely somebody's grandpa wrote this movie.
It's so or grandma, grandpa,
so
whatever.
Bad. All right, and I wrote...
Well, my grandma actually made that guy's jacket, it looks like, that was in the very beginning.
Oh.
Looks like she made it out of like some curtains or something.
Yeah. By the way, I'd have given this movie R for the duck butter queef line. I can't understand this guy, so I don't know what it was, but here it is. What did he say?
I couldn't understand anything he was saying, but it was fun.
I don't know what he says. I have no idea. No idea at all. All right, this one's called Gross.
The cowboy out there wants two burgers rare, and I mean rare.
Oh, yeah, rare burgers.
I mean rare.
Don't get rare burgers, dude. Boy, those girls working the place, doing the skating and the waiting, they were into it, man. Just dancing and scooching around and talking about how I want these so rare. I hate them.
Kids, let me tell you this. Don't ever get confused with the 80s, with the 50s, because we didn't have like car hops, people rolling around on
maybe there's a Sonic
stuff.
That still does it over here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
it was not popular as they portrayed it in this movie.
No.
It was not a thing.
I don't know. I kind of felt like that was okay. Like, except for the fact that the guy slinging burgers was working in a tiny room, and it was completely, you know, surrounded with business. Like, that was the weird part to me. Why is this place so popular?
Right.
Why don't they expand it?
Yeah.
This is why I feel like this is an alternate universe, because it's like all the time frames are all a little bit off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually improves the movie if you think of it that way. Actually,
I think.
If they would have been more overt about that, like. This exists in a, you know, in Earth 3 and blah, 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 whatever. I would have liked that more, I think, because I would have bought into that more. And then everything that was weird would have seemed a little bit less weird.
Right.
Hold your horses, guy. Oh, yeah. Here's a guy. So this is them talking again, like some grandpa wrote it.
Hold your horses, guy.
Who says hold your horses, guy? Nobody in their teens or 20s says that ever in the history of mankind.
Your horses, guy.
Ugh.
My great grandfather, who was born in 1911, would say that.
Yeah. my grandpa, Farrell, he would have done that. He was a crusty old cow punching bugger. He would have done it.
Punching.
here's something about Augie.
Hold your water, Augie.
Oh, yeah. Hold your water. Another common phrase.
Hold your horses and hold your water.
Yeah, hold your water.
Hold your water, but I really got to go.
So I got a line here. This is amazing. I don't know how we keep unearthing these things, but Ibbitt's mom sent me a tape, and it's from your prom night. And it was you explaining to the girl that if she didn't, you know, give a little something back for the date, that you were going to hold this over her. So here's what you said.
Oh, God.
And if you're not nice, you're not going to get your burgers with the mayo in Thousand Island the way you love them.
There you go. That was a pretty rough threat. Yeah. You always put her in her place, didn't you?
No special sauce for you. Nope. Why didn't I just say that?
Yeah.
Right.
Immediately exposed her left boob. All right. Here's the...
not going to get your duck butter on your burger like you like.
Here's Randy Quaid also talking like people don't talk. Here you go. Randy Quaid.
And you caught us speaking without a...
Clam it, wise guy. There's a dead kid 3 miles up the highway.
Yeah, wise guy.
that was Clint Howard reacting to the...
Was that Clint Howard in the back?
No. Yeah, that was Gutter Boy. Gutter Boy was the one always making the noises.
Yeah, that's true.
Jamie Bozian.
By the way, this marks the first time that we see Randy Quaid playing a character named Loomis.
Mm.
We'd see him play Loomis again in Quick Change, the Bill Murray bank robbery movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Why would they do
different
that?
Different character. I wish it was the same character.
That'd be amazing.
Sheriff Loomis just got dumb and became friends with Gina Davis and
you could probably have a pretty good conspiracy theory that all Randy Quaid characters are all the same character. You know,
right?
Became an Amish guy for a while in Kingpin.
Oh yes, God, I wish we could watch Kingpin for this. That's such a great movie.
Yep.
MPO. I still want to watch Quick Change with you guys.
I love that movie.
I've never seen Quick Change, so I'd
watch it. My God. Oh.
Okay, put on the list.
Such a great movie.
We should put on the list. Is it newer or older? Or what? How old?
1990.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Gina Davis, Bill Murray, Randy Quaid, and Cop Chase. I can't remember. He's a famous bit part actor.
Right. Is Randy Quaid still in Canada? Is that still the thing that he's doing?
No, he's in the States somewhere. But there was if you believe his Twitter account, he's somewhere in the States. His Twitter.
Oh, Brian, Jason Robards is in
Jason Robards is who I'm thinking of. Yes, he's not a bit part actor. He's a that's who I'm thinking of as the cop that's chasing him.
Mm. He was you just watched All the President's Men again. And he was in that, right?
Yeah. As the editor in chief.
Yeah.
Robards my only reservation about Quick Change is I'm afraid we're going to watch it in 2017 and it's not going to hold up.
I watched it in 2015 and it totally holds up.
Watch it.
I'll take your word for it.
I'll watch it. I want to see it. I've never seen it, so I want to see it.
I wonder if it's streaming anywhere. Oh, such a great film.
Maybe you'll have to get a brain eradicator like this line.
What about you, maggot? You got anything to say? Are your veins bloated with brain eradicator too?
It sounds like a sequel. Brain eradicator 2.
That was great.
Yeah.
All of the drug references, I realize we're steeped in the 80s and the DARE program and everything, but this movie would have been just as good or better if they just hadn't even mentioned drugs ever.
Yep. Or maybe just some weed, you know, just weed.
But you know what I mean? Like, these guys are car thieves and they're mean to women and all this other stuff. Like, I don't need that extra little thing about how some people are on drugs and some aren't.
That's not going to be the thing that pushes you over the edge and saying, oh, these guys are bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, the drugs just pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. But it was like, if you were making a movie about people younger than 30 years old in the 80s, there had to be a drug problem somewhere in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. But when it was always, back then, though, it was always like this sort of stuff, like huffing paint and, you know, snorting. Well, I guess, man, I mean, there were a lot of cocaine references in lots of movies, but it was either that, like your big drug was cocaine in the 80s. But outside of that, it was like this can is full of paint and I will huff it. I will smell it.
I don't know why that just reminded me of a trope.
Oh, again, wait, hold on. I have a thing for that. You know, it's a button I push and it goes like this.
The smug competitor. So Packard keeps letting his underlings race against the Interceptor instead of just beating him himself. Like, who is this? Who is this? Is in other movies? I promise you.
Every movie
totally is. Yeah, it's the I'm not worth my time to go after you myself. I'm gonna let one of my henchmen take you.
It is literally the plot line to both John Wick films. Like, that is the entirety of John Wick. And I love John Wick. Don't get me wrong. They use it to the best degree, but it's always about there's a main dude and you're going to kill. It's mini boss, final boss.
Yeah. Exactly what it is. Yeah.
We'll call it the final. Instead of, the final instead boss of working,
right. Instead of working your way up a tower of bad guys, you just, he refuses to do it.
Yeah. You can't fight the Lich King until you take down, you know, Cindergosa and a million other things. Right. You're not going to do it. It doesn't work that way. I never talked like this in high school, and neither should these people.
Yeah, it was like a V-dub conversion with bodacious bags, you know, and a surf rack on top, and it was awesome, man.
Okay, the awesome maybe. Maybe we said awesome.
Bodacious bags.
No one said bodacious. Nobody. I know they think we did, but we didn't. Only movies did. We never said bodacious. Yeah. I never said bodacious one time in my youth, not once.
Yeah, me either.
I will bet you there were beaches between Malibu and Santa Monica in the 80s where literally a million toe-headed boys went surfing and never one of them once said the word bodacious.
I agree.
No.
I agree.
That was definitely something that was being projected from, you know.
Yeah.
TV it's all and that movies, all that we weren't
all that Valley Girl crap all blown out of proportion, man. It's not even close to what we talked about. Here's a funny sound placement I wrote. I don't remember what this is, so I just wrote funny sound placement. Oh, I know what it is. This is great. Check it out.
Well, no one seems to be too broken up about Mr. Fisher laying there, splayed out to 4 points of the compass. But then again, maybe that's what things have come down to, huh?
I love that siren's in there.
Yeah. You know what this, the Foley guy's going, you know what would fit really good right here? One of these. Wee!
It's too quiet. We need something.
Someone said to Randy Quaid, talk like John Wayne.
Yeah. Right. Randy
Do your
Quaid,
best John Wayne.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid took a dramatic pause during that conversation for effect, and the Foley guys just threw a big old siren in there. Weep. I like it.
It's amazing. All right. Weird and pissed off is this line.
But whoever he was, he's weird and pissed off.
It's a great way to describe people.
Yeah.
Here's the... Oh, yeah. Again, a word no one ever uses and not in this pronunciation.
Augie Fisher, your buddy who got greased.
He got greased. I understand greased.
Did they say lunched at some point, too, or do you have that?
Lunched?
Yeah, your friend got lunched across the side of the canyon.
Oh, yeah.
Was that supposed to be launched, or was it? Okay, weird. Here's another one. This is one we never said.
I can't remember dog squeeze when it comes to getting run off the road.
I can't remember dog squeeze!
Is that like jack shit? Dog squeeze?
I'm going to start remembering it. I'm going to start using dog squeeze. That's pretty good.
Yep.
I don't remember dog squeeze about it.
Dog squeeze.
Dumb threats.
Hey, Carrie, I'll pick you up later tonight, so do yourself a favor and be here.
That's some rough talk.
And she did too, boy. She was there. She was waiting in the dark by herself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing you were talking about earlier. Plus, it's a chance to say the name of the film. So here you go.
But now that there's that wraith out there that killed Augie.
A what out there, man?
A wraith, man! A ghost! An evil spirit, and it ain't cool.
Oh my gosh!
as opposed to those evil spirits that are cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. These guys are cool, man. All right, here's.
It just occurred to me that he coined the.
Sorry,
phone just went off.
Right on. I was rocking.
Who's calling you?
I thought I had it muted.
No, I was rocking. It was good.
It's a demon spirit, and it's calling my phone.
It ain't cool.
It ain't cool. All right, I have a thing that says, what shit line? I don't know what I meant.
You can kill me too, Packard, but you can never make me love you.
Oh, I meant literally that's a shit line. That's what I meant.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty bad.
It is.
That's so bad. Here's your sad ending, though, and I hate this. So here it is.
Really?
Jamie!
Oh, shit, he figured it out at the last second.
That's who it is, and I was late to figure it out.
Oh, but at least I have his car that has a 9-point bulletin on it from all the cops and all the surrounding zones.
Why not leave me your moped and take the nice car?
Yeah.
With a moped, it was badass.
It was pretty, it was a good motorcycle. It was all right. It was okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's your
the Honda.
Yeah, that's a Honda.
Dirt There's, bike.
That's your clips. Right. That means that we got to fly into this. I have right here the film sack checklist, and it goes like this: hanging out by some Arizona river, check. Skank drinks things that would kill 100 men, check. And finally, watching Randy Quaid eat a burger is gross, check. Oh, by the way, grossest thing in the movie, that wasn't that for me. What do you guys think it was? What do you think it was?
Wow. It wasn't there the was weird so stuff times. That Skank was drinking and eating and snorting?
Nope.
Okay.
It was not that, because I always just knew that was dumb and fake. And
anything in the Burger Shack had to be right up there.
Easily the most gross thing I saw in this film was Cassavetes cutting his own hand and making her taste it.
Oh, yeah.
And she did it kind of willingly, and it grossed me out.
Put a trope alert on it. I got to always point out.
Stick a trope alert on that, would you?
Why do you cut the inside of your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it doesn't hurt right away.
Well, it's fleshy and fatter than the outside. The outside of your hand would hurt like heck.
Yeah,
but I know, but it would still be usable.
Yes, that's the thing. You have rendered your hand. You're not going to be able to do shit with your hand after you cut the inside.
Exactly.
Ugh.
You're going to be able to steer away from that cemetery.
And I hate the whole put your hands together and shit. I'm not sharing my blood with your nasty ass hand, freaking Packard Bell there. I'm not doing that. Besides,
before we really had a lot of bloodborne diseases that we're all aware of now, we used to do the blood brother thing and all that.
Sure.
Cut yourself.
Sure, but lean over and lick his blood? F off.
Yeah.
No way.
you would so not gross. Make a good girlfriend for
no,
him.
No, I'd be a terrible Scott. Girlfriend for him. I'll never love him. He can kill me, but I'll never love him. Star Trek Connection, we got a couple of them. We got Michael Hugerford. He was Stokes.
Hugerford.
I don't know who Stokes was, but somebody in this. He played a roughneck.
He was all excited.
Oh.
Stoked.
He was stoked. He played a roughneck in the fifth season episode Time's Arrow. I think that's an original episode. TNG. No.
Time's Arrow is the one where they go to San Francisco, isn't it? TNG? And they find Data's head?
Oh, right. I'm thinking of the one where they go to San Francisco with Kirk and Spock, and it's old 40s land, and everyone has a Tommy gun and stuff. I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, I thought that was Time Zero, I think, is, but I could be wrong. But
you could be right. Clint Howard, though, is in this list. He played Rughead in TOS. He played Baby Balok in the Corbinite Maneuver. And if you remember, that's when he was just a little tiny kid.
That's right. I forgot about that. We watched that out here on Film Sack, didn't we?
Yeah, did we? Oh, yeah, we did. You're totally right. We did.
Yeah.
Soundtrack great. I'm going to give it a K for Corgi as shit, because there was a Korg synthesizer constantly in that damn thing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, see, Korg.
Like you said, I heard Corgi as shit, and I'm like, so like everyone like on the West squeeze? Coast dog?
Yeah, all right. West
like
Coast
a,
dogs.
Like a dog with really short legs? I mean, is it?
Hey, what do you guys see? Okay, this brings up an interesting side point. When you see so many people with corgis now, that immediately just makes me think they're going to overbreed them and they're just going to pee all the time. That's all I can think about.
Oh, they're already totally broken as a breed.
Why would you everybody, do that?
Everybody I know
things.
Who has a corgi, they end up with some weird disease and they die, in their sleep at 4 years old. Like, it's ridiculous.
Do you guys have a good line on like those weird goblin looking naked cats? I want one bad.
Oh no.
I do. I want one.
Line. Don't do
Sphinx,
it.
Sphinx cats.
Sphinx cats. Yeah. I was, it's just like goblins.
Sphincter cat.
I want one bad. I want a wrinkly pink one, man. Bring it in.
Wrinkly pink one. That's what Scott wants right here.
Yeah.
So you're saying you want a cat that looks like a naked chihuahua.
Yes, I want a cat that looks like a little goblin Dobby house elf that can walk up to me and go, meow, and I can be horrified every time I see it.
Why did Scott try to kill me?
Is anyone in your house allergic to cat hair, by the way?
No, nobody.
Because that is a perfect song if you've got anybody who is. Okay.
Right, yeah. Right.
But that's what they're good for, right, is they don't they have no hair. Yeah, and they love baths. They like to lay in warm baths and just lay there, and no cat likes a bath, but those cats do.
I mentioned it on Twitter when you posted that. There's no reason to own a cat if they're not soft and furry, because otherwise, are you getting is a poop machine that tears your crap up and claws everything. I mean,
no, we declaw that guy.
The only saving grace they have is their soft fluffiness.
I would declaw that cat because they're supposed to stay indoors anyway. They don't. The sun hurts them and stuff. Like, they're weird as hell.
So you just want a rat? Why don't you just get a rat?
I just want a weird animal. I want a weird animal. I've got all this normal animals in my life. I want something. Right now I have a normal snake and a normal dog. I want an abnormal cat, a cat that shouldn't even exist.
There's nothing normal about having a snake.
And I want them all pink, and I want to name him.
Snakes don't want to be pets. I want to name him. Snakes don't even want to be there.
We're naming him Zoidberg if we can get him. That's what we're going to do. And we looked him up.
Exactly. He's going to walk sideways when he leaves the room.
We looked him up on this local kind of Craigslist thing that we have here, and Craigslist and a few other things. They don't go for any less than like $1,500. They're so expensive.
Don't get pets off Craigslist. Well, public service announcement. Don't get pets off Craigslist.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I'm just giving you price comparison. Everybody's got about $1,000+ for those cats. That's ridiculous.
Right, wow. Right.
The kittens are like $2,000. What the hell? Anyway, someone give me a goblin cat and I'll mention you on the show. All right. Hey, it's time for the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Wraith, Randy Quaid, Charlie Sheen, Road Pirates, Skank, Rughead, Gutter Boy. The first one to Dragonfire Crossing wins the last 90 minutes of their life back.
Nice. Never going to get it back. I mean, we haven't really said this on the show today. I really had fun watching this stupid movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this movie
feels like. It feels like it's got all the makings of a perfect film sack film.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just like everything you want.
I kept having this feeling of like, ooh, this could have been real good for Nerdtacular kind of moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to find a movie like that because they are always the best for that sort of thing. Anyway, moving on. Brian Dunaway.
The Wraith, like leaving the theater clean as if you came out of a hot tub, which ain't clean. Now get me to town and box me up.
Yeah, dude, I can't remember the last hot tub I got out of where I felt clean. It doesn't exist.
This is 86. We thought that if you heated water really hot and you got out of it, that you would be clean. Apparently, but no, we know better than that now.
Nope.
It's a big old Petri dish.
Yep. Charlie Sheen is going to leave crabs all up in that. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
The Wraith. Apparently, in Arizona, the word skank means 35-year-old man playing a teenager.
Nice.
He must have been pretty old. Who's typing? I can hear typing. Is someone typing? Maybe not.
Not me.
All right. Anyway,
not me. Anyone notice that Nick Cassavetes is like a foot taller than everyone else in this movie?
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
He totally is.
He's bigger.
They didn't even try to make him look the same size as everybody else.
No. He's bigger in Face Off as well. He's a big, tall guy. He's totally bald now, too. He has no hair. He's like shaved and makes movies.
He's cool looking, actually, on his IMDb photo.
Yeah, he's badass. He makes movies now. He's like directing stuff and all kinds of stuff. I think Nick Cassavetes came out of this all right. He did okay with himself. His dad was a big director. He sort of carried on. It's fine. All right. Well, that brings us to the final moments here of this. Oh, look, everyone. Got handed the alternate titles, The Past and The Spurious. And finally, the Arizona dust really removes the sheen from that car. Oh my Lord, it hurt to even say it. Here are a couple emails that we got to filmsack@gmail.com. we like to get these out here in front of people. Bernie W wrote in and says, Hello Sackers, I just wanted to weigh in on the movie Jaws. I've seen the movie a number of times, and there is another piece of information that lets you know just how off his nut Quint is.
Off his nut.
In addition to the money he asked for to mount the shark and catch the shark, he asked for an additional bonus. He asked for booze and a TV. I always thought that was weird. Also, there is an online theory about Police Chief Brody getting kicked out of New York for being a drunk. Story goes that they gave him the Amity Island job as a last-ditch effort to save his career. This kind of puts a different spin on the character, considering that he drinks a lot in this movie. Keep on keeping on, Bernie. Well, Bernie, sorry about November or the primaries. But yeah, there are more weird rabbit hole surrounding theories about Jaws than I expected. I've ran into a lot of that stuff when we watched it, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's more than even that.
I remain in this bad feeling. Like, I feel bad because so many people love the movie so much more than I expected, and it was a crap movie for me, and I feel like I've hurt their feelings.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who really revere Jaws. I thought it held up and did great, but there are people who think it's the greatest film ever made. So what are you gonna do about those people? Nothing. Can't do nothing.
Everybody's got their thing.
Yep. Got an email from Steven who says this. Just got to listen to the Jaws Film Sack episode. Another Jaws email. Says, I loved it. Did you know that Piranha 2, The Spawning, was directed by James Cameron of Avatar fame? I didn't know it was directed by him.
Right.
I had no interesting idea. Yeah, so that's news to me, and I thought we'd share it here with the listening audience.
That gives it one more reason to watch on FilmSack. I love when it's a well-known commodity doing something kind of shitty.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why you'd say Avatar fame. He's got so much other fame.
Well, it's not like you need to explain of any fame. Like, James Cameron.
That guy.
We need to all agree that if you're going to name a movie, it's Titanic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to name Aliens and The Abyss before I do that, but I understand what you mean. I get it. Mainstream-wise, yes, Titanic. That's where you go. But if I'm serious, his best movies are Alien, Terminator 2, or Aliens, rather, Terminator 2, and then probably, I don't know what else. There's other stuff. He's done other shit.
It just feels like if you're like Ron Howard of Willow fame.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, but that's not number one. Yeah, sorry.
Good point. George Lucas of American Graffiti fame. I mean, American Graffiti is a great movie, but that's not what you think of him as. It's just Star Wars. Anyway, there you go. That's your emails, filmsack@gmail.com. What's our movie next week? I don't even know. It's something.
The Usual Suspects.
Oh, good. I love that movie. Ooh. So we're doing this is a movie that is good, like genuinely good.
I know, right? I'm a little worried.
Mm. Well, you know, we always have right of refusal. Every one of us has a veto vote. So if it turns out we think it's not sackable, then fine. But I'm actually looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be very sackable, but I think I'm going to hate sacking it because it's going to be such a good movie.
Well, it's a great movie. We've done plenty of good movies for sure. We have definitely done those, so this could be one of those, and that's totally
fine. It's leaving Netflix in April, so never mind. Right. Yeah, we're going to sack Thinner. Thinner, Stephen King's Thinner.
What?
All right, now that is a film sack movie for sure.
Yes, that's a crap fest.
Holy
any
shit,
Stephen King.
Thinner.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen Thinner since I was a kid. I don't remember what happens. What's the deal?
He gets skinnier.
Don't people
skinnier.
Explode cursed, or something? Or am I thinking
by a gypsy?
Oh, Scanners is what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Scanners.
Ooh, that was good too.
Maybe I've never seen Thinner.
Have you
know
read
what?
The book?
It's a short story, right? One of his Bachman stories.
I thought it was a full, book.
It's a full movie. It's a Bachman book, but it's a full movie.
No. I mean, is it a short?
I thought it was a full book.
Right, full book. I think it is too.
Is it a full book? Is it 4:30 times for milking?
I remember
John
seeing
book?
The cover Thinner and not like the cover of Changing Seasons or something like that. That was multiple stories.
Right.
Yeah, who knows? But I do think it was a Richard Bachman joint back when he was doing
it. It was because I think that was one of the first Bachman books I read.
Are you guys excited about the Dark Tower finally happening? Are you excited like I am? Because I'm real excited.
Not as excited as Scott Johnson.
I'm so excited.
Could anybody be as excited as Scott Johnson?
I'm so excited. It's the best book series ever. I can't wait.
I think I'm going to go ahead and watch The Usual Suspects before the end of the month just because I want to see it again. I am really sad at everything leaving Netflix on April 1st. Yeah, it's a bloodbath.
Maybe it's a fool's
day.
Do
we have a list of what's coming? Because maybe we take a quick look at that list. And
We do, and we need to dig through it. I don't want to bore you with the list of what's coming right this minute. But there's some possibilities for FilmSack. Yes.
Yeah. Like possibilities. Possibilities are good.
Good.
They make things feel possible. That's going to do it for us today, everybody. Thanks for being here. Filmsack.com is our website. Consider frequenting it and leaving comments on the blog. We love the conversation that happens there. We had virtually none for the episode for, what was the movie before the Ninja Turtle one? What was that called? What did we see 2 weeks ago?
Vanilla Sky.
Oh, Vanilla Sky. Like one guy. Talking about Vanilla Sky.
Really?
I don't know why. Something about that movie just didn't spark any conversation. So hopefully the Wraith does a little more business this week on the blog. But that's at filmsack.com. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @filmsack. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us in ways that are difficult for me to describe here. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. What's that?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
The Shitter.